To avoid facing the absurdity of the idea, he grappled violently with the steering wheel, but his hands slipped through it. He tried to wrestle with the automatic transmission shift and ended up thumping it in rage, but not being able properly to grasp or push it. The stereo was still playing light orchestral music into the telephone, which had been lying on the passenger seat listening patiently all this time. He stared at it and realized with a growing fever of excitement that he was still connected to Susan's telephone answering machine. It was the type that would simply run and run until he hung up. He was still in contact with the world. He tried desperately to pick up the receiver, fumbled, let it slip, and was in the end reduced to bending himself down over its mouthpiece. "Susan!" he cried into it, his voice a hoarse and distant wail on the wind. "Susan! Help me! Help me, for God's sake, Susan! I'm dead! I'm dead! I'm dead, and I don't know what to do!" He broke down again, sobbing in desperation, and tried to cling to the phone like a baby clinging to its blanket for comfort. "Help me, Susan!" he cried again. "Beep," said the phone. He looked down at it again where he was cuddling it. He'd managed to push something after all. He'd managed to push the button which disconnected the call. Feverishly he attempted to grapple the thing again, but it constantly slipped through his fingers and eventually lay immobile on the seat. He could not touch it. He could not push the buttons. In rage, he flung it at the windscreen. It responded to that all right. It hit the windscreen, careered straight back through him, bounced off the seat, and then lay still on the transmission tunnel, impervious to all his further attempts to touch it. For several minutes still he sat there, his head nodding slowly, as terror began to recede into blank desolation. A couple of cars passed by, but would have noticed nothing odd. A car stopped by the wayside. Passing swiftly in the night, their headlights would probably not have picked out the body lying in the grass behind the car. They certainly would not have noticed a ghost sitting inside it, crying to himself. He didn't know how long he sat there. He was hardly aware of time passing, only that it didn't seem to pass quickly. There was little external stimulus to mark its passage. He didn't feel cold. In fact, he could almost not remember what cold meant or felt like. He just knew that it was something he would have expected to feel at this moment. Eventually, he stirred from his pathetic huddle. He would have to do something, though he didn't know what. Perhaps he should try and reach his cottage, though he didn't know what he would do when he got there. He just needed something to try for. He needed to make it through the night. Pulling himself together, he slipped out of the car, his foot and knee grazing easily through part of the doorframe. He went to look again at his body, but it wasn't there. As if the night hadn't produced enough shocks already, he started and stared at the damp depression in the grass. His body was not there.